Paul tells Timothy and us to do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. We'll take a look at that truth and how to handle it next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. All our lives we spend studying for this test, studying for that job, studying for this or that or the other thing. That's what we do. But when it comes to our relationship with Christ, oftentimes we leave off the study of God's Word, thinking it'll just happen by osmosis. Welcome to Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. If you'll join us for the next few minutes, we'll do just that. Study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. A workman who does not need to be ashamed. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Thank you for joining us today at Abounding Grace. I'm here with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. And we thought that we would take up the subject today of natural disaster and the things that we have been seeing on the news for over the past weeks, a lot of culmination of different things, especially with Hurricane Ike. And I want to apply, at least in light of the scenario that's presented to us, the circumstance that's presented to us in light of Hurricane Ike. Right now, as we speak, that's what they say, over 140,000 people, Wes, ignored the warnings that to remain in this hurricane would mean certain death.
Amazing.
It is. They were given time to escape. I saw one group of men sitting in a bar drinking. They're great. Provoking Ike, saying, "Bring it on, Ike." Today, it's unknown, or at least a few weeks ago, how many are stranded. What's moving through the whole thing is the amount of time. When we look at this in terms of perspective, a Christian perspective, how much time they were given to escape ahead of time. I came across a few statements. One lady was asked whether she would have remained behind again or what she would tell people who want to remain behind in a hurricane. Her answer was one word: run. Another man said, "We just didn't think it was going to come up like this. I'm from New Orleans. I know better. I just didn't think it was going to happen." Another guy in his store said, "I'm not leaving. I don't trust the weather report." So I say all of this to think today about the whole scenario presented. In terms of what we preach, Wes, think of the scenario. God has announced what is to come, the storm of his wrath, judgment. The mercy shown is that today there's still time to turn, to come to Christ, who is the refuge from this storm. The weather report is bad. The law says we're all sinners, we're under condemnation, therefore his judgment is coming. And so the call to flee to Christ is the answer, but how few have? How many are not taking it seriously today? How many could say, "I just didn't think it was going to happen"? How many today, if they were going to go through it, would say run, but it's going to be too late? How many don't believe God's weather report of the law showing us that we're sinners?
Exactly. It's very sad. And you know, when you're going through those quotes and what was reported in those news stories, you know, you can't help but think of Romans 1, what it says there about unbelief and unbelievers. And maybe I'll just read a few verses. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." And I think, you know, this one phrase here, suppress the truth and unrighteousness. You know, self-deception, that's really what it is. People know the truth about God in their heart of hearts, but they try to tell themselves that they don't. They try to tell themselves that there is no God, there is no judgment, and if there is a God, there is no judgment. And they try to hold on to these ideas such as, you know, the idea of God having a weigh scale where he's going to balance out our good deeds and our bad deeds, and if our good deeds outweigh our bad deeds, that's our ticket to heaven. Well, the Bible will have none of that. Romans 1 will have none of that. They suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They're putting the truth down, and it's not just that they do it because they don't know better. It says they do it in unrighteousness. This is a moral issue. It's a matter of sin, of rebellion against God.
You know, I was thinking in light of this that Jesus gave a parable very clearly about a similar situation. And we could put this in terms of what we've seen with the chain of events of Hurricane Ike. But he told the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man is in hell. And he recognizes that he did not take the calls to come seriously.
Mm-hmm.
But then it was too late. And this is how Jesus ended the parable. This is the rich man in hell. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him, that's Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Mm. You know, the really moving thing about that is, here it is, he's too late, he's in hell, and he's saying, look, if the person rises from the dead, if they see something really great, yeah, then my father's house will come, and they won't have to come to hell.
Yeah.
But you know, we're seeing all around us these natural disasters, which are really precursors, if you will, of the coming judgment to come. But what has Jesus sent? What has he done for us? He sent the message. Yeah. The message is there's a way of escape. Yeah. There's good news. Christ is a refuge. Come to him. You will be covered from this coming storm.
Right.
But how many today don't take it seriously? How many provoke and say, bring it on?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think that one of the real tragedies about this is also that in many churches today, people are not hearing the warnings of Moses and the prophets.
They're hard
and
to
the
hear.
Law. And, well, the ministry, many preachers are not giving those warnings. They're not faithfully echoing the teaching of Scripture on this point, warning people that, listen, you got a problem. Your problem is God. You know, the God who reveals himself in Psalm 7. It says in Psalm 7, verses 11 to 13, God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he does not turn back, he will sharpen his sword. He bends his bow and makes it ready. He also prepares for himself instruments of death. He makes his arrows into fiery shafts.
Don't hear that one preached very much.
No, this picture is of God as a divine warrior, God on the warpath, not just against sin in the abstract, but against sinners.
You know, as we've said this time and time again on Abounding Grace, but if for some reason, it's a difficult message for us to get. The gospel is not that great if the news isn't that bad.
Yeah.
And the news is very bad.
And the good news is only so good because the bad news is so bad.
Right. That there is, and we're not dealing with light matters here. And this is why, you know, there should be a holy zeal on your part as a hearer of the word. If the minister is not dealing with a God who is angry and righteous and holy and will punish sin, we're dealing with, Wes, eternal matters. We're dealing with eternity, where Jesus made clear, unequivocal statements that people who don't repent and believe in him will go to a place forever where the worm does not die, mm-hmm, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I didn't make that message. I didn't make it up, because in my own self, I probably wouldn't preach that kind of message.
Right.
Because it comes from God, we are compelled to preach that message.
Preach the whole counsel of God.
And then show how glorious Christ is, that mm-hmm, he is a shelter from this coming storm.
Exactly. The law is there, and these statements of Scripture, which reveal to us God as a just judge, they're there to drive us to Christ, to lead us to seek refuge in him.
You know, you were, I'd like you to interact a little bit with Luke 13, because I think, Wes, when you hear this, you know, you could get the idea that we're saying those over there are bad sinners, and we're, yeah, what is the whole message of Scripture on this account?
Yeah, because in Luke 13, the Lord Jesus interacted himself with a natural, or not a disaster that happened in his time. A tower fell on a number of people and killed them. I'll read from Luke 13, 4 and 5, in the words of Jesus, or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them. Do you think they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Powerful words.
Very powerful, because there was the common thought that, well, you know, that happened over there to those people because they're bad sinners. And Jesus just turns it right on them and says, look at that event. Do you think they are worse than you?
Right.
No, look at what happened. That's a foretaste of coming attractions on those who do not believe in me. But there is the way of escape. Repent, look to me, believe in me, and you will have that refuge.
Yeah.
But so it's a glorious message, and yet it's a daunting message to those who don't come.
Mm-hmm.
To those who don't believe.
To those who don't believe, they, again, suppress the truth and unrighteousness. They tell themselves over and over again, the storm isn't coming, the weather report is wrong. God is full of love and mercy. He's not going to give me what I deserve. No, you're fooling yourselves.
Well, and I think one of the interesting things is that Christ always was dealing with, even among the church people, a certain mentality that they weren't the sinners. They weren't the bad ones. And Jesus comes along. Who does he dine with? The tax collectors and the sinners. And the message was clear. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Exactly.
That's who he's come for. That's who we preach, us all dead in trespasses and sins and in need of a beautiful Savior who's able to satisfy the demands of God's weather report, God's law.
Yeah.
Wes, you proclaim Jesus in season, out of season at the Langley Canadian Reformed Church.
Right. If people want to find more information about us, you can go to our website, www.langleycanrc, that's langleycanrc.org. We have worship services on Sundays at 9:30 and 2 o'clock. We're located on 52nd Avenue, just a little bit to the east of the airport right in Langley.
Well, we're thankful to bring these broadcasts to you, and we do so that all would hear and flee to the one who is able and has satisfied the demands of God's law and propitiated his wrath. That is Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior.
Amen.
So we proclaim him in season and out of season. We thank you for joining us today at Abounding Grace. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
Growing in grace so that we don't groan in disgrace. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We spend just a few minutes a day together, but it's our hope and prayer that those few minutes help you grow in your understanding of God's great love for you and I in His Son, Jesus Christ. As always, questions, comments, and prayer requests are more than welcome. We'd love to dialogue with you, especially as it relates to our union in Christ. You can call us 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you would like to write to us, the address is 8650 Benson Road. We're here in Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, as always, you're welcome to contact us by phone, especially if you would like directions to the church. If you're planning on a visit, we'd love to see you. We meet at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on the Lord's Day at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. Directions, again, call 360-318-0429. Or better yet, visit our website. Learn a bit more about us here at United Reformed Church in Linden and Abounding Grace, who we are and what we believe. LindenURC.com. Again, LindenURC.com. We even have a map, directions to the church, if you'd like to join us. LindenURC.com or 360-318-0429. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.